Resorts World Catskills, where luxury and excitement are so close by. Catch all the sports action and so much more at Resorts World Catskills. Dial *RWCAT to learn more.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. Or look for us under Listen on the ESPN app.
Everyone in football is surprised. Joe Judge, obviously, has been hired as the head coach of the New York Giants. Either everybody was so off base leading into this that the Giants didn't really want Matt Rhule and that the Giants really didn't want Mike McCarthy, that this was the guy all along. But there's no way they knew that this was the guy all along. He comes highly recommended from Bill Belichick. And one thing I will not do, I don't know what Don will do, I don't know what Peter will do. I'm not going to sit here and I'm not going to be a phony and I'm not going to say, Joe Judge, how could you hire Joe Judge? He's going to be a terrible. I have no idea what kind of coach Joe Judge is going to be. He's a 38-year-old who's had a background with Nick Saban and with Bill Belichick. He's been in the Patriot organization since 2012, so that's a long time and a lot of Super Bowls. And he's been their special teams coordinator and also their wide receivers coach. All of that we know. We don't know much else about him. Young coach, is it a gamble? Yeah. But I said this earlier, and I truly believe it. Matt Rhule would have been a gamble too. At least this guy's been around NFL players for the last 10 years. Not the case with Matt Rhule. 1 year. And the deal that Matt Rhule got from the Carolina Panthers is stunning to me. Stunning. The fact that the Giants might have choked on that, I don't blame him. I don't blame him. And he got total control of the 53-man roster with the Carolina Panthers. I'm not sure, Don, that even if I wanted Matt Rhule, if I'm the Giants, I would have given him that. I just don't know how you do that with a total neophyte who's coached at Temple right. and in Baylor. Those are not big-time programs.
Well, you look at it at the surface. Why would you not hire Mike McCarthy? Why would you not hire Rhule? Those guys would want more control than maybe the Giants are willing to give.
Although Mike McCarthy got no control in Dallas.
Right.
None.
But maybe he would have wanted it in, with New York. I don't know. If there is an anti-Gettleman sentiment around the NFL where he's a tough guy to work with, nobody wants to work with this guy, then why would you limit your chances to bring in a big-time head coach to keep Gettleman that really hasn't done anything here anyway? Now, I don't think he deserved to be fired. He did draft Jones. His draft wasn't miserable. But if I want to get Mike McCarthy, if I want to get Matt Rhule, and I can't because I've got Dave Gettleman, then you know what? I got to part ways with Dave Gettleman. He's 67 years old anyway. He's not like he's going to have the job for the next 20 years. Why are you so married to Dave Gettleman where it's going to limit your chances of getting other coaches? I wouldn't allow that to happen. Now, the other side of it is, did they just love Judge? Everybody got it wrong. They weren't interested in McCarthy. They weren't interested in Rhule. They weren't interested in anybody else, Martindale, any of the other guys. This was their target. He's somebody from the Bill Belichick background. He's got connections to the Giants organization. They wanted to bring him in. Why would you bring somebody in with zero head coaching experience after you whiffed miserably your last two hires? Wouldn't you want someone with a little bit more of an NFL resume? Can you afford to get it wrong a third consecutive time?
I'll tell you this. I'll take Joe Judge over the amount of money that Matt Rhule's getting. I'm sorry. I could not, with good conscience, give Matt Rhule $9 million a year.
But money,
I'm sorry.
Money shouldn't be the issue, though, Peter. I hear what you're saying.
I get it.
It's too much. The fact that you're giving a total neophyte total control of football operations, to me, that's stunning. Forget about Dave Gettleman. If Dave Gettleman cost you the opportunity to talk with other people, that's problematic. But Matt Rhule, I'm going to turn my franchise over to Matt Rhule?
Completely. 100%.
Completely.
And you're jumping so into bed. I mean, $70 million. I understand the money doesn't matter. It's not our money, but it's about what that shows. The
right.
desperation to have Matt Rhule run your team.
But $70 million and the $15 you have to pay Baylor. I mean, think about it.
But
think
if that's
about
your
David
guy,
Tepper
but
did.
That's again, insane. This is not capped money. The Giants have a lot of cash. If that's the guy that you love, you're literally putting your money where your mouth is and saying, I don't care how much, this is the guy that we want. So if you loved him, but you know what, I'm not paying $70 million, then what are you doing?
It's still just a sign of being foolish, though, to do that for Matt Rhule. You don't back up the truck for someone who's proved it at the level he's proved it at. Sorry. To me, Temple and Baylor is not enough to back up the truck.
And 1 year in the NFL. One year in the NFL as an assistant offensive line coach for Tom Coughlin and the Giants. Listen, I've been dubious on Matt Rule even last week. Since we've come back, I didn't get the obsession with him. Obviously, the Panthers did. David Tepper would not leave the house unless he got an agreement. And there are reports out there that Rule did call the Giants.
Yeah.
And this is what I have. I mean, maybe the Giants got scared off by the money. Maybe the Giants got scared off by giving this guy total control.
I couldn't tell if it was that or if when he called the Giants, it sounded like the Giants said, we have another person we're very interested in. Did he balk when he heard that? Because right. He's like, well, I got a sure thing right here in Carolina. I'm not playing your reindeer games with Joe Judge.
When you think about it, Bill Belichick makes $10 million a year. You get it, with incentives, that's what this guy's going to make.
Yeah,
Carolina.
It's unbelievable.
But it was a name that we had heard for the last couple of years, especially last year when the Jets were interested, and he was interested in the Jets, and it fell through because of a little bit of a power struggle. I never heard Joe Judge being anybody that was talked about as this hot assistant that needs a job. Did you?
No.
I mean, he's been here. He's been in the NFL for a while. He's been with the Patriots for a while. He's been connected to two of the biggest coaches in the sport of football, and Saban and Belichick. Has his name been mentioned in the last couple of years as a possible coaching candidate? Now he's the head coach of the Giants.
Zach Cox from NESN, which is, you know, one of the local cable channels in New England or Boston. This is what he got a quote from Bill Belichick back in July about Joe Judge. Joe's a really good coach. Joe does a good job. He's smart. He played quarterback. He played offense, so he has a good offensive background. There are a lot of defensive principles and special teams. He's a good defensive coach, teaching those fundamentals and techniques in the kicking game, but they would carry over to defense. Joe could probably coach any position on the field. He does an excellent job of teaching players. He thinks quickly. The game comes easy to him. He understands concepts and adjustments and fundamental techniques. That's the mark of a good coach. I would definitely put him in that category. So high praise.
I'd like to ask a question. Well, what's the point of the Rooney Rule? Is this actually a thing? There are three black head coaches now. There were three when it started in 2003. What's the point of this rule? Listen, we don't know the personalities of Joe Judge or Eric Bieniemy, right? But I thought Eric Bieniemy was this name people were so hot on.
Right.
What happened to Bieniemy? You know what Bieniemy is? He's responsible for the Chiefs' offense the last couple of years.
Well, he and Reed, although Reed,
and I know Reed does
very
play
highly
call,
of him.
But Reed loves him.
Right.
So you're the guy who took over as OC. Because how long has Reed been in KC now? 5 years?
Longer than that, I think.
It's longer than that.
And would we all agree that the Chiefs were at a different level in 2018?
Yeah. No.
That's Eric Bieniemy. He doesn't get – before that, running backs coach in Minnesota for Adrian Peterson.
Right.
I'm just saying – listen, I don't know that the guy's a stud, but it's interesting that 50-year-old guy, real legitimate NFL experience, passed over.
But here's what it really comes down to me. The Rooney Rule gives coaches an opportunity to interview. And the way it was explained to me is the interview skills are important because even if you're not going to get the job with that team that interviews you – the fact is you get to be in the room. Word then spreads about you. It's supposed to offer up opportunities. But when you look at how these guys get hired, is the interview process that important? Or is minds already made up before you sit down and talk to these guys?
But you know what? Interview process must have played a role in this. There's no way the Giants
would lock in
on Joe Judge. I actually think there's a part of the Rooney Rule, which I understand what Don's saying, because it gives people the opportunity to learn how to interview. I think it's also insulting. I think people are used to fill a quota.
I don't think there's any question.
Check a box.
That.
Oh, we got to talk to Bieniemy. So, you know.
So now Bieniemy has to go be trotted around and talk to all these people and get no job.
Right.
But the idea was even if you're being used by organization A, you still get the skills to be able to get the organization B and C interested in you. But the reason that I think the interview process isn't what it's cracked up to be is that did Joe Judge blow them away in the interview process or did the phone call that Bill Belichick make really win them over?
And those phone calls matter.
Did Adam Gase do the job with the Jets in the interview, or was it the phone call that Peyton Manning placed put everybody over the top? My point is they're probably interviewing other people about you. You could screw up the interview. You could embarrass yourself in the interview. But I'm wondering if the mind's made up by the time you sit down at that desk anyway.
Let's see what some of the experts are saying. Ryan Clark on SportsCenter actually likes the Joe Judge hiring. Here's Ryan.
Sometimes you need someone that understands how to organize, how to energize, how to delegate. And it seems that Joe Judge has learned under the best. When you're a special teams coach, you deal with every player on the team, unlike an offensive coordinator or a defensive coordinator. This is somebody who can have his pulse on a team and understand how things can work.
And here's Mike Tannenbaum, former Jet and Dolphin GM on NFL Live, And he said he feels like the Giants rushed this decision.
I think Joe Judge has a chance to be a really good head coach for a lot of the reasons the guys already talked about. However, when you're sitting there with Josh McDaniels teed up for an interview where he's done a great job developing quarterbacks, coaching Tom Brady, has prior head coaching experience, why would you not see the process through, have more information, and then make the best decision possible after you interview McDaniels?
See, that's a pretty good point. Who's rushing to hire Joe Judge? Are the Cleveland Browns going to hire Joe Judge? So, I mean, you do have time to wait and maybe try to seduce Bill Belichick.
Or did they get to the – we have to stop even mentioning that. I'm embarrassed for us.
Why?
I'm embarrassed that yesterday we sat here and speculated, could they be coming up with some play for Belichick? And then it's Joe Judge. I'm sorry. I feel a little embarrassed. I really do.
But the word
that's where the Giants are.
Because when Rex was on yesterday with the 10-1 show, he said that Josh McDaniel wouldn't take the Giants job. He doesn't get along with Gettleman. The Giants probably knew that. They knew McDaniels was going to say no. And the longer if Joe Judge was somebody they liked – I think if you wait too long, and then it kind of comes across as if you desperately hired Judge.
They wanted
by
to play
doing
it, like
it immediately.
Interested.
You can play it off as this has been our choice all along, rather than waiting for McDaniels to say no. Get Judge. Now, what I do like about this is that the possibility of bringing Jason Garrett in as the offensive coordinator. I think that would work. Like, I don't have a lot of respect for him as a head coach, but I think he's an offensive guy, can help the quarterback.
Look what he did with a fourth-round draft pick.
So I don't think it's all bad. We don't know about Judge. He could end up being good and can help the defensive side of the ball, which needs a lot of work. You bring Garrett for the offensive side of the ball, that's probably the one positive I take from this whole thing, because I think Garrett would be a good OC.
Do we also have to assume, by the way, that Rivera does not like Gettleman?
I mean, the fact that he didn't even have the Giants in play, it's kind of weird.
Okay, because here's the thing. If Gettleman and Rivera had a good relationship, when Rivera lost the job in Carolina, aren't they talking instantly? And Gettleman's going, hey, listen, we're going to see how things play out here with Shermer, but you're my guy. I got you right here. Obviously, that didn't happen. There's obviously no relationship there.
Here's Charlie Casserly of the NFL Network. He said the Judge is a good hire for the Giants.
A little bit surprised, a little and more happy, and they got a good one. Okay, they got a good one. I got one under the radar here, which was an excellent prospect. You know, New England's had some guys, Josh McDaniel, Matt Patricia, et cetera, to come out of there. What I can get, it's the best one to come out of there as a prospect. Communication, excellent communication skills, highly organized, okay? Those are the things. Can command the room, has a presence to him, has a vision of what he wants to do on both sides of the ball. A generic statement about special teams coaches is their selling point in the meeting is, I'm the only other guy besides the head coach that talks to the team. But where they come up short is their vision on offense and defense. I don't think this guy's vision is going to be short on offense and defense. I think he knows what he wants to do. I think he's going to have a plan there. He's going to have some people in mind. I think all of that is going to be good.
And finally, here's Adam Schefter, who said the Giants were always open to candidates beside Rule.
I think that there was also a perception in the public that wasn't necessarily true within the Giants organization. Did the Giants want Matt Rule? Absolutely. Was he their go-to guy, the guy that they felt they had to have? I don't believe that was the case. I think he was one of a few different candidates, along with Josh McDaniels, who was scheduled to interview with the Giants on Wednesday, along with Joe Judge, who the Giants met with Monday, and the Giants were enamored enough with Joe Judge on Monday that they began negotiations on Monday night.
The only thing that makes me feel a little uncomfortable is it seems from the outside looking in that the Giants got outmaneuvered. And that's disappointing. Well, Joe Judge, you like Joe Judge. Unless you had info that the Browns, the only job that's left, we're going to hire Joe Judge, why wouldn't you talk to Josh McDaniels? Unless they knew what Rex said, that Josh McDaniels wanted no part of Gettleman. The attachment to Gettleman to me is somewhat curious, but I don't want to see the Giants outmaneuvered. This guy could end up being a great coach, but if they got him because they got outmaneuvered, that's a real bad look.
You're never going to know the answer to that because nobody's ever going to admit it. And is it outmaneuvered or is it doing your due diligence and realizing we don't want to talk to somebody we know is going to say no? And I think that's what happened with McDaniels. They did their homework and realized this guy's not going to take the job.
And they did already interview him when they hired Shermer.
Right, and they interviewed McCarthy. Maybe they got a sense McCarthy's not going to take this job. Like, they didn't want to be told no.
Right.
I mean, so you're only going to talk to people you know are going to say yes, and that's going to limit your options.
And for the record, McDaniels is just a hire that's – it makes you feel better because you know his name. But are they in a better spot with McDaniels than they are with Judge? He's 11-17. I mean, he has experience. He has some
experience. This guy's never been a head coach. So
The thing that's weird to me is that head coach of an NFL team is basically an executive job. You run a company. Mm-hmm. You are responsible for a small company. And to have only done special teams and wide receiver, especially under Bill Belichick, who's such an imposing force himself as a leader, are you capable of doing that at all? We have no idea. Running a college team, you've had that executive job at a smaller place. We have no idea if he's capable.
All right, let's take some phone calls. 1-800-919-3776. At 3:30, we'll be joined by Larry David. That's going to be fun. We're looking forward to it. Stay tuned beginning at 7 p.m. on 1050 a.m. for the ChevyOffers.com New York Rangers pregame show brought to you by your local Chevy dealers. Check out their award-winning lineup and find your closest dealer at ChevyOffers.com. So let's start with Sam in the Hudson Valley. Sam.
Hey, what's up, guys? Happy New Year. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm all right. So I'm listening to the Giants talk and everything like that. And what's your take? Do you guys think maybe the Giants went the Yankee route, how they went for somebody young like Aaron Boone, and they want somebody young that controls the room with these young players like Danny Jones, and they went that route?
I can hear your point, Sam, and it makes some sense, but it's like, okay, we want a guy who can identify with the players, who's kind of the same age as the players. He's actually younger than Eli.
Yeah.
But we'll have a 68-year-old GM that really isn't pushing for analytics. So you can't serve both masters. It's got to be one thing or the other. Are you going young? Because the Yankees hired Aaron Boone because they wanted somebody that was empathetic to the players, that would be able to communicate with them. But the whole front office is new age. And they're all in on analytics, but it's like the Giants are half pregnant here.
It's apples and oranges to compare it to a baseball manager, Michael. No offense to Aaron Boone. I think he would even admit this, is that he gets a lot of help. I mean, head coaches in the NFL, my God, the amount of responsibility that you have. Yeah, you're fed information, but there's a lot of decisions that are left up to you. Where the Yankees don't leave, baseball doesn't leave anything to chance anymore, right?
Nope.
But you gotta have a lot of thinking on your feet on the sidelines. That's a scary proposition for somebody who's never did it before. Again, I'll mention Ray Hanley. Ray Hanley was completely in over his head as a head coach. But when he was an assistant with the Giants, he ran the running backs and clock management, two of the things the Giants were amazing at. But he couldn't make the adjustment to head coach. You don't know it unless you do it. Never done it.
Gary in West Orange. Gary.
Yeah, Michael, the difference between John Mara and Jones is that Jones seeks publicity, Mara doesn't. Mara made this decision. And I think Don was on the right track when he talked about Jason Garrett. The reason they picked Joe Judge, and I have no idea if he'll be any good, the reason they picked Joe Judge is they picked Garrett first. They couldn't pick an established coach because then they wouldn't be able to bring in Garrett. We've known for a while that this is...
Why would you be... So they were set on Garrett being the offensive coordinator, and then why not hire him as a head coach?
I think the reaction would have been devastating if he was hired.
Right, so you're doing a little okey joke on the fan base.
Absolutely, and I think that's what they're doing because Mara has a relationship with him too. And how quickly? Because look, if Gettleman's not making decisions, Gettleman's not saying, "Oh, I want to bring him in." This is about Mara making the decisions, not about Gettleman, not about Judge. It was about Garrett. We've read it for a while in the papers that the Giants might be interested.
But that doesn't, Gary. I hear what you're saying, but it doesn't make sense. You're going to hire a head coach so you can hire a specific offensive coordinator. That sounds ridiculous. And also, can Steve Tisch keep his mouth shut? He wasn't even part of this interview. I'm going to be really involved moving forward with the football operation. You weren't even in New Jersey.
The one thing that Gary said, and I've believed this for a long time too, is that John Mara's calling the shots. And
I
think
agree.
Steve Tisch wants to get more involved, but Steve Tisch can't commit enough. Because the one thing you could say about John Mara, he's fully committed to being the Giants owner. He doesn't do anything else.
Right, that's his job.
Steve Tisch is out in Hollywood. He's got other things. He's producing movies. John Mara's there 24/7. I don't think he's willing to give up any of the responsibility, and I think he's the one that's really pushing the buttons. He's the one that wants to continue that whole Giant way. Chris Canty made the perfect phrase for what the Giants are looking for, the blue blazer. Like, they want the blue blazer guy. That's what they're looking for. And if you're not a blue blazer guy, you're not going to get hired. Who do you think wants that? I think that's John Mara.
I think that, you know, when Gettleman was on, he said Mara was going to make this decision. He said,
well, he said it was going to be collaborative.
Yeah, but obviously collaborative means it's going to be the owner. And I think that Mara and Tisch, I think Tisch pushed for the firing of Shermer. If I had a guess, I would think that Mara would probably want to stay another year with him.
And I don't know if Tisch was involved in this, but in order to be able to hire the next head coach, you've got to be there a lot more than Steve Tisch has been there.
Yeah.
I think he wants to be more involved, but how can you be more involved than the guy that's got an office over at the stadium and is there 24/7?
Then why open your mouth and say, I'm going to be really involved moving forward with football decisions when you,
so I think
you
know, he wants
you're at
the to.
Golden Globes on Sunday?
I think he wants to, but then I think he realizes what he's going to have to sacrifice to be more involved.
You're right. Then he shouldn't open his mouth because he looks disingenuous.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Yeah.
Catch the show on demand whenever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. The Michael K. Show.
Larry David. Now, you're a big Jet fan. What do you think about Gase?
I can't take the hat. He's got to face the public. He's got to be out there. Get rid of the hat.
Tonight, the first episode of the 10th season of Curb Your Enthusiasm is going to be shown at a sold-out event. You realize it's 20 years?
10 seasons took 20 years, but it took 5 years between seasons 8 and 9.
That's a good boss. That's it. Yeah, take your time.
I have to admit, other than you guys, I have a pretty good job, but nobody can beat this job that you have. This job, this is, as the kids say, sick. You know, I mean, this is insane. You come here, you talk about sports. It's crazy.
The Michael K. Show.
I've called you a sports fraud before. You're cool with that, right?
You're crazy.
Crazy?
No, you're crazy.
But so you root for the Yankees when they play the
Mets? When they play the Mets, I root for the Yankees. I'll go to Met games. I'll root for the Mets. How dare you, Don?
On 98.7 ESPN.
You know, sometimes you get jaded in this business. The people you meet, the people you get to interview, he's just great. I hope that everybody had as much fun listening and watching as we had conducting that interview. And Peter right now, I think if it was allowed in this building, Don, would be smoking a cigarette. He has an afterglow. He really does.
He was great. I mean, he was so great. It was so cool. For me, when he walked in, because before he came in, I compared him to Sandy Koufax, and he heard it in the other room.
Right. I compared him.
No, you said to me, like, right. Oh, he's like Sandy Koufax. Right. And I said, yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's like Sandy Koufax.
Okay.
And when he walked in and he goes, Peter, Sandy Koufax? From that moment on, I'm like, that's it. But the day
he
was
had
over.
You. He had you at Koufax.
I did not. That was all I needed from Larry David was a pleasant greeting. And to me.
And there's a great picture on Twitter right now of you and Larry, like, glad-handing.
Yeah, it kind of looks like he's looking away and I'm desperately trying to cling on to him.
That's pretty much what it was.
But that's actually not inaccurate, so.
Yeah, a little bit there. We got a chance to just deviate from the Joe Judge situation, but that is the big story of the day. And now there's some new news coming out. Don't know if you saw this, that the Giants have not requested permission to talk to Jason Garrett to be the offensive coordinator. That story was misinterpreted. They had requested permission to talk to Jason Garrett to interview for the head coaching position. They have withdrawn that request. Joe Judge will be allowed to put his whole staff together.
Okay.
So, obviously, the Giants can't force Jason Garrett on him. Maybe if he comes to the conclusion he wants Jason Garrett, then that'll be that. But they have not requested permission to interview Jason Garrett to be the offensive coordinator.
So what do you end up thinking about that? Because you can go the one direction and say, well, then how can you say that they want to judge all along if they're placing a phone call to get permission to talk to Jason Garrett? And then hire Judge after they don't get permission.
I don't think they want to Judge all along. I think that maybe he impressed them, but there's no way that this was the guy they thought they were going to hire.
I think Judge was on a short list of guys they wanted to have coach the team. We'll never know where on the list he was. Was he fourth? Was he first? That doesn't sound like he was first. I don't know who was first, but it doesn't sound like Judge was first. And it's the second that Garrett doesn't want to do the interview, you go to Judge. You're certainly not filling any quotas interviewing Garrett.
Garrett didn't say he didn't want to do the interview. They had requested because he's under contract for another week with the Cowboys.
Right.
They never got a chance to talk to him. I'm sure he was going to be talked to after Judge and after Rule.
I don't know what to think of any of it, but the one thing that I can definitively say is this is an unknown.
That's for sure.
After missing the last two times, could you afford to take this big of a leap? And I cannot believe for a moment that this was their guy. Like Jones, the full bloom comment, that you got the feeling that they were just in love with Jones. They had no qualms about picking him sixth overall. It wasn't anything else but the fact that that was the guy that they wanted to be their quarterback. Can you sense that with Judge? that this was their guy all along, that everybody else was just going through the motions, that this was their guy.
They've got to really sell
this
to
believe.
Convince us. I can't be convinced of that.
Now, maybe it'll work, and it won't matter, right? It's not going to matter where you were on the list. If he turns out and wins the Super Bowl with this team, he'll be a god, and it won't matter. But, boy, that's an awful risk to take when you've missed this big the last two times.
It really is. It's a huge gamble. The last two coaches have been abject failures. Abject failures.
But at least those two guys fit a specific need they were looking for. McAdoo was the offensive coordinator under Eli's best season as a regular, in a regular season. And they wanted Eli to be better. They brought in Shurmur because he was supposed to fix Eli. What is the reason to bring in a guy that's never been a head coach before? Now, it sounds like he's more of a defensive guy. He works special teams, linebackers coach, but he also worked with the wide receivers. Is he a jack of all trades? Does he check a bunch of boxes? You hear that he's a leader, that he's a great communicator. I also need to know he can coach, Michael. That's also part of it. Fizdale was a great communicator, right? How did that work out with the Knicks? Shurmur was supposed to be a great quarterback whisperer. How did it work out when it came time to coach on the sidelines? I don't know. And he's never done it. That's the thing. At least with Rule, we weren't completely on board because he was a college guy, but he had been a head coach at Temple. He had been a head coach at Baylor. He patrolled a sideline. He made decisions in game. All right. He developed game plans. He had to deal with the media. There's a lot of things that happen when you're a head coach. And now a guy that's never been a head coach before is going to take over one of the biggest jobs in the NFL and also trying to turn around what has been a dumpster fire, the losingest organization in the last 3 years. That's a lot to do, man. This is a huge job. And the guy is a neophyte.
And really, we're all being very forthright with you. We can't sit here and say he's going to be a terrible coach. We have no idea. Now, special teams coordinator. Well, John Harbaugh was that, and he's turned into a great coach. But you have no idea. We have no idea what kind of guy he is. We never heard him speak. Nobody out there has ever heard Joe Judge speak.
No, but he's supposed to be a no-nonsense guy.
Right.
Who at times is willing to ruffle the feathers of other players.
But that's fine. As a special teams coach, that's fine as a linebackers coach. That's fine as a wide receivers coach. Now, guess what? He's got to run an entire franchise. He's got to put out every fire. He's got to deal with offense, defense, special teams. He's got to deal with the media. He's got to deal with the guy that wants to take next Sunday off because his wife's having a baby. He's going to have to deal with these two guys fighting with each other. He's got to deal with everything, and he's never done it before. At least Rule had done it before on the college level.
I mean, it's basically like RJ getting the call tomorrow to become GM of the radio station. And I say that with all due respect. RJ has a specific thing he focuses on that he's amazing at. If you were to be like, hey, RJ, you want to run the entire station? You're dealing with every single every single element.
And if Adam Schefter called me to ask, what do you think about RJ? I would say RJ's brilliant.
He's great. I've no
tremendous guy. Tremendous communicator.
But you're still guessing.
Handles everything. Has he ever been a general manager before? Has he ever had to sell? Has he ever had to deal with talent? At the level of where you got to hire and fire people, this is what you have to do as a head coach. It is a colossally difficult job for guys that did it before. Shurmur did it before and obviously couldn't handle it.
By the way, RJ, I would support you as GM. I want you to know that. Just so you know.
It's amazing. I don't think there's a giant fan out there, whether they're upset today or not, that is not shocked. No one, as Larry David said earlier, no one saw this coming. This was not predicted. This was not, I mean, when you heard Joe Judge, you said, well, they're probably picking his brain about the Patriot way, whatever. Maybe he'll come over as a coordinator with Josh McDaniels, whatever. Well, nobody thought Joe Judge was getting this job, but to sit here and say he's going to be terrible, can't say that. That would be disingenuous. But to sit here and go, wow, this is a big, big gamble. Like Donna's saying, it's a huge gamble. He's 38 years old. He's working with a GM who's almost twice his age, who's not in on the analytics as much as he made it out to be during his interview tour last week. I'm sorry. This is a huge gamble.
And when they selected Jones, you did have a certain segment of the population that could say they saw him at Duke.
Right.
Right. I mean, is there anybody out there that knows anything about this guy?
Oh, sure.
Are there Patriot fans that know?
Well, we're going to talk to Mike Reese, who covers the Patriots for ESPN. He's going to join us at 4:45. Maybe he knows something about him. Maybe he's dealt with him. Maybe he could tell us what the players think about this guy. But what gets me a little bit, I don't want, Peter brought this up, and that was the thing that really hit me when I was reading all the story. No nonsense guy. Okay, so he's a colossal bore. He's going to be a colossal bore. And how are the, we keep hearing that in this day and age, you have to have a great relationship with the players. Well, sometimes if you're a no-nonsense guy, it's hard to have a great relationship with the players because you don't let them pass on anything that they do wrong.
You know who can be no-nonsense? Bill Belichick. Some 38-year-old's going to come in and tell stars in the NFL he's going to be no-nonsense.
Right.
Someone they've never heard of, they don't respect. I mean, yeah, he was a special teams coach. Listen, he was special teams coach in New England. New England has great special teams. It's not like the guy doesn't know football. But we always talk about that, how difficult it is to coach these days when the players all make more money than the coaches. In this case, you have players who are more experienced than the coach.
And correct me if I'm wrong. I'm sure somebody on Twitter will. All right? The guy has been on the winningest organization in the NFL in forever, since 2012. Have you ever heard his name as a candidate for a job at all during that span?
The only time I've heard him as a candidate was recently, supposedly Mississippi State was interested in him.
And that's he got offered the job, I think.
And many people think the reason the Giants hurried the way they did was because he was going to take the Mississippi State job if they waited.
If you have to hurry because you
State,
might lose your coach to Mississippi State,
I agree.
Well, it's the wrong job. It's the wrong hire. And just real quick, Don, I have to put this out there. Football players don't at me and start saying, well, what about Sean McVay? And what about Kyle Shanahan? The difference is guys in the NFL are just like us. Guess what? They knew who Sean McVay was. They knew who Kyle Shanahan was. Those were guys who were lauded. Many people talked about them getting a job. Guys, we all work in sports talk radio. We never heard of Joe Judge. You think the players had?
But they might, but the people in football might. We have no idea.
I'm sure they
do.
That's fine, but when they walk
in
the locker room, the players don't know Joe Judge.
Right. It's going to be interesting.
He's got a
lot of proving to do.
He's going to have to earn their respect. And the other part of this thing, too, is to the point of the Mississippi State stuff. I mean, you're afraid you're going to lose the face-off to Mississippi State?
Like
does anybody want this job?
If you said to him, listen, we've got another couple of interviews we want to do. We like you. And he said, well, I'm going to take – well, then take a walk. Go to Mississippi State. Really? It's not like Alabama was going after him. For some reason, Mississippi State, by the way, fired Joe Moorhead after 2 years. That's the kind of patience they have at Mississippi State. That's ridiculous. To fire a coach that's well thought of, did a great job with Fordham, did a great job at Penn State, and they fired him after two years because they were impatient. You know what? They have to be a little patient to wait for Joe Judge.
When Ray Perkins left the Giants to go to Alabama, he was going to Alabama.
Right, right.
Not Mississippi State.
And also, even though it was Alabama, you still left the New York Giants for Alabama. It was still outrageous.
It was still a big deal at the time. Like, oh, does anybody want to coach the Giants? But this was back in the, you know, after 81, 82. All right? So the Giants were in a different situation. But are they really in a different situation? Has the losing over the last 3 years just make this a place nobody wants to be? Is Dave Gettleman that hated? Where nobody wants... Is it the fact that they don't like Dave Gettleman, or is it the fact that I don't want to be on a team that thinks Dave Gettleman's doing a good job? Whatever it is, this used to be – remember when Parcells took the job? It was like, this is one of the flagship franchises in the NFL. They've won a Super Bowl in 2011. They've won it fairly recently. And you're quaking in your boots. He might leave you for Mississippi State.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show? Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN. The Michael K. Show.
Joe Judge has been hired as the head coach of the New York Giants.
I just cannot believe that we're hiring a receivers coach with no experience at all.
He comes highly recommended from Bill Belichick.
I'm not saying the guy's a bad guy, but who is he?
Why would you bring somebody in with zero head coaching experience after you whiffed miserably your last two hires?
Everyone in football is surprised.
Wouldn't you want someone with a little bit more of an NFL resume?
Mike Reese, the ESPN, the Patriots reporter.
You ever look at him and say, he looks like head coaching material to me?
In the future, I absolutely thought that he had head coaching potential. I think the question that is fair to ask is he ready now? Is he ready now?
The Michael K. Show. On 98.7 ESPN.
Yeah, fascinating day so far here on the K Show. And this portion of the show on 98.7 ESPN brought to you by the New Jersey Lottery. They say life's a beach, but with a $258 million Powerball jackpot win, life could be more like a private beach in Fiji that belongs to you. So take a chance on Powerball. After all, anything can happen in Jersey. Joe Judge is the new head coach of the Giants. We'll take a perusal of his background. From 2005 to 07, he was a graduate assistant at Mississippi State. That's where he played. 2008, linebacker coach at Birmingham Southern. 2009 through 2011 with Alabama, special teams assistant football analyst. 2014 with the Patriots, assistant special teams coach. Then 2015 through 2018, special teams coach with the Patriots. And then this year, special teams there, and wide receiver.
You missed
coach.
Some stuff here.
Okay.
Summer 2013, he played a whole lot of Madden.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they left that out. Madden 13. He used to play Joe Montana Sports Talk football.
I don't think he's old enough for that.
Now, Judge does have a championship history. Since 2009, Judge has been an assistant on two national championship teams at Alabama and then won three Super Bowls, appeared in four with the Patriots. That's pretty good. Of the last five Giants full-time head coaches, not including interims, three of them won double-digit games and made the playoffs in their first season.
Now, you had mentioned that there have been coaches that have had success without being a head coach anywhere else. And the name that always jumps out is Sean McVay, who I don't know how good a coach he is. He coached in a Super Bowl, so I guess that's pretty good. Missed the playoffs this year. He at least was an offensive coordinator with the Redskins for three seasons. So that's a little bit more experience than you're getting, obviously, with this person who'd never been more than just a special teams coach.
Well, he's 38 years old. He'll be the eighth youngest head coach in Giant history. The youngest since Ray Perkins, who was – how old do you think Ray Perkins was in 79?
37?
Ooh, nailed it.
Don knows everything.
But isn't it hard, like just in your mind's eye, Susan, that you always figure him to be older than Bill Parcells? Bill Parcells was older than Ray Perkins.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Yes.
So you didn't realize, Ray always looked like an older person. And he's no longer with us, but he didn't look 37 when the Giants hired him.
And he probably looked older after he left for Alabama.
For now, the record, too, everyone keeps throwing the Harbaugh thing out there. Harbaugh was special teams assistant coach.
No, he was. And so was Bill Belichick with the Giants.
But Harbaugh was also, it was 9 years, and then he was a defensive backs coach. So it's still more experience, even in that regard.
Now, the one good thing for him, anyway, is this is not, unless it's a complete tire fire, not going to go the way of McAdoo and Shermer because the circumstances are different. Right? When McAdoo and Shermer were brought here, they were expected to win immediately. That's not going to be the expectation now with the Giants. Right? I mean, you know that they're in a rebuild here. So he's not going to win his first couple of seasons, you wouldn't think. Now, the scary part of that, and getting back to what Mike Reese told us, that as long as he's successful, then being communicative is going to work with these players. But, you know, if they could very easily go 4-12 next year, right? I mean, that they're not going to be a great team next year, you wouldn't think. So how is he supposed to command the players when there might be a lot of losing before they finally turn this thing around?
And as a fan base, When are you supposed to start believing in him? Because if you get an experienced coach and you're like, hey, Mike McCarthy gets introduced as head coach, they sign him to a 7-year deal, and McCarthy sits down and goes, hey, we're starting right here. We know we're at the very beginning of this thing. It's going to take time. Be patient. He's Mike McCarthy. He went to the playoffs 9 times. He developed Aaron Rodgers. You're going to give him time. If they're 4-12 and then 3-13, and then they start up the next year 1-5. What are you doing then?
Then you get nervous.
You get nervous.
You're getting Giant fans who will be calling the show like Jet fans are calling the show at 1-7, wanting to get rid of Gase. And Gase had been a head coach in the league for 3 years. This guy has never been a head coach. Giant fans will be going apoplectic.
And you could be very good at what you do. He could be the right hire, and they miss the playoffs the first couple of the years under him.
For sure.
I mean, you've got a tough division. They got a difficult schedule. They don't have a ton of talent. They traded a lot of their talent away. You've got a quarterback that's in his second year, but the only weapon he has is Saquon Barkley. You know, I don't know how they're going to build up this team immediately. They've got a lot of cap money to spend, but I don't know how long it's going to take for all that to mesh and gel and start to win. So hopefully their expectations are a little lower.
What I hope doesn't happen. There's no way you get rid of this guy right away. And we shouldn't even be talking about this. This guy could be a colossal, a great coach.
Yeah.
A colossally great coach. But you've hired a 38-year-old coach, and you have a 68-year-old GM. So they have a lot of money to spend in free agency. Let's say he's terrible again at that. He's been good at drafting, Gettleman. He has not been good in trades, and he has not been good in free agency. He just hasn't. Sorry. So if he craps out again, what are the Giants going to do? Hire a new GM? and the GM has to inherit the coach. We see how that works with the Jets.
So if next year is a colossal failure talent-wise, and they're really bad on the field, and you want to move on from Gettleman, like you're asking, you keep this guy, or you're blowing it out and starting over again with both?
How bad do they look if they do that?
But how long do you – so you want to bring in a new GM? And it's a tough – again, it's a really tough spot.
That's why not firing both at the same time is always a danger. We've seen it just wreck the Jets.
I'm sorry. I kept thinking this yesterday. We talked to Joe Douglas yesterday. You can listen to the podcast. I wish that Gettleman would listen to an interview with Joe Douglas.
I don't think he has it in him.
Do you know how much longer a leash Joe Douglas is going to get from the New York public because he's a likable guy? It really makes a difference to not be a pompous.
But at 68, you're going to change the person you are. That's who he is.
Yeah, I think that's really part of it. He didn't have to deal with the media in Carolina. He didn't have to deal with the media at all with his job with the Giants the first time around here.
And the fact that he didn't deal with the media this year really hung Shermer out to dry. Shermer had to explain all this mess.
And it's a personality flaw in Gettleman. Listen, Joe Douglas realizes he's going on the radio and knows more than the people that are asking him questions, but he just gets it. He understands that having a good relationship with the media means having a good relationship with the fans and means your message is going to be received in the right way. You just can't walk around. It's like, why am I even bothering with you guys? That's the sense I got in the interview. It's like, why am I even doing this? You don't know a quarter of what I know about football. That's the point, is that we're asking you questions so that the fans can get a confidence in you.
I've got to tell you one other thing that concerns me about the Giants. I don't know if this guy's going to be a good coach or not. I'm not going to be such a blowhard to sit here. Oh, he's going to be great. I have no idea. But it does worry me if the Giants got outmaneuvered. And I have had a problem from the very beginning with the whole Cabo situation. And I'm not saying that Matt Rhule had to blow off Cabo. But if the Giants really wanted Matt Rhule, before they knew what the Panthers were going to offer him, you know what you do? If you're John Mara, Dave Gettleman, and Tisch, you get on a plane, you fly down to Cabo, you have drinks with him at the pool, and you talk with him. You make an initial contact. You don't sit back and wait for it to happen. That was a mistake, if they wanted Rhule. David Tepper went down to Texas to talk with him. He didn't wait for him to go to Carolina. The Giants waited. Now, he supposedly made a call to them. This is the money they're offering me. And the Giants backed off and said that they really like Joe Judge. That's the story out there right now. But the Giants never got a chance to talk to this guy who was supposedly the dream coach. Now, I also think that Carolina went a bit nuts. You're giving a guy with no NFL experience other than as an assistant offensive line coach for 1 year with the Giants, no NFL experience, and only experience as a head coach at two not major programs. Now, he did build them up from nothing. You're going to give him $70 million and total control over the football? Now, if that's what he wanted from the Giants, I'd probably say pass. I said a week ago that he would not be my first choice. Mike McCarthy would have been my first choice because the Giants needed a clean hire that would energize their fan base. They didn't get that today. I don't know how it's going to turn out. They didn't get the clean hire that energizes their fan base.
No. Now, maybe I don't know how important that is because it's the Giants, right? I mean, they're still going to sell out the building. People are still going to find them to be relevant.
But didn't Tisch say, I'm going to listen to our fans?
Well, I don't think Tisch has anything to say. From what I can tell, Steve Tisch is all talk and that's it. All right? Because he wants to get more involved. Where are you? If you want to get as involved as John Mara, that means you got to quit producing movies in Hollywood, come to East Rutherford, New Jersey, sit in your office and do football stuff. That's what you're supposed to do. That's being more involved. All right? Being more involved doesn't mean you're more available to do interviews. That means being there, discussing things with John Mara, deciding who the next coach is going to be, but also doing the homework to know the candidates. Michael, I have not been the biggest supporter of John Mara over the last couple of years. I don't think he's done that great of a job. But the one thing I'll say, he cares about this team, and he does the best job he can, and he's around the team. Nobody can ever question that about John Mara. He's not a hands-off owner. He's there. All right? Steve Tisch has been nothing more to me than a silent partner. And he wants to be more involved? Well, then be more involved. Scout college games. Start learning a game of football so that you can be more involved in the decision-making. Not placating the fans with interviews with Bruce Beck. Be there. Be in the office. Get your hands dirty.
Let's go to the phone and see what you're thinking. Fred in White Plains. Fred.
Thanks for taking my call, guys.
You got it.
I love your show. I watch it every night. Don, you stole a little bit of my thunder, but this may sound crazy, Michael, and you'll probably hang up on me right away, but I have a theory that Belichick may come to the Giants as their president. I think he doesn't want to coach anymore at the New England, but he comes in, they put his guy in there in place for a year. Maybe he's not ready to leave. Brady stays one more year in New England or 2 years, and then Belichick comes to New York. He's the president of operations. Gettleman, by that time, will be 70. They push Gettleman aside, maybe.
But you know what, that Fred, that doesn't excite me. That has a real Phil Jackson feel to it.
Well, I'm just saying, I think that's a possibility.
Well, maybe, you know what I would like? If you want to dream, Fred, and I'm a big dreamer, yeah. Okay? If you want to dream and feel good about things, maybe this is exactly what the Jets did when they hired Belichick as the head coach and waited for Parcells to free himself up, and then Parcells came and took the job, and Belichick became a coordinator, the defensive coordinator. If you want to dream that maybe that's out there, but then you'd be thinking that the Giants are capable of playing three-dimensional chess, and nothing that they've done over the past 10 years, I mean, they did win a championship, let's say over the past 7 years, has told you that they're capable of playing three-dimensional chess. I'm sorry. Steve in Long Island. Steve.
Alex Webster, Bill Einsparger, John McVay, Ray Perkins, Ray Hanley, Jim Fassel, Ben McAdoo, and Pat Shurmur. That's who the Mara family is. The most inept ownership in the history of sports. And no one ever says that about them.
They're well, Jim Fassel did take them to a Super Bowl, so I don't know if I'd put him in the list. But you're right, and I've said it, Steve. This organization is what they are, or is because of George Young and Ernie Accorsi. All right? Wellington Mara was a great person. I think John Mara is a good person. But from a football standpoint, if the league didn't force them to hire George Young, do they have four Super Bowls?
None. And then the other guy that won the Super Bowl was Ray Hanley, who was his disciple.
And Fassel went to a Super Bowl, by the way.
Yeah, I don't put Fassel on that list. He won a division. He went to the Super Bowl. He wasn't a miserable
Jace
coach.
He was definitely not made.
Another guy, though, that got fired in New York and never got a sniff anyplace else.
Yes, amazing.
We haven't gotten the full story on that either. Ray Hanley was, you know what happened with Ray Hanley? Is that Bill Parcells took to May to decide whether he's going to come back or not.
Right.
And Bill Parcells recommended Ray Hanley, and you're not going to not listen to Bill Parcells. So I'll kind of give him a break Hanley.
That screwed the Giants on having Belichick. That's how he ended up getting the Browns job.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but you're right. Listen, that when they were flying planes over Giants Stadium and burning tickets in the parking lot, you know, we forget about that after four Super Bowl championships. But from 1956 to 1986, you know, 30 years without a championship, 1964 to 1980, through those seasons, no playoff appearances. Lost in the championship game in 63, didn't make the playoffs again until 81. Were they talking about being a flagship franchise? Were they talking about the Giant Way back then?
I think this angers Giant fans when I say it. The Giant Way is the same as every other way. They don't have any higher moral standards.
They're not special.
They're not special anymore.
And you know what you need to hear? And this hurts me to say, because I'm a Giant fan, okay? This hurts me. They're not the Steelers. They're not the Packers. They're not. You don't win enough to be those teams. You have four Super Bowls, and the Packers have four. But, you know, the there's a Steeler way. Right now, there's a Patriot way. There's a Packer way. Packers seem to find their way in the playoffs a lot more than the Giants do. But the Giants are a team. Listen, they have success. There's no question.
But those two
there's
Super
been a
Bowls,
lot of losing.
But those two Super Bowls, too, are misleading. They're misleading. Those didn't come during an era of greatness.
No.
Those are 9-7 teams.
They went on magical runs.
They went on magical runs. Those weren't teams. You know, to the point you make about the Steelers, right, who are good every year. Look, they're not the Seahawks right now, who are just good every single season. They're not one of those organizations. And we got really caught up.
Hey, listen.
And frankly, Eli deserves a lot of the credit for those two miracle runs.
Listen, in 2000, they went to the Super Bowl, got destroyed by the Ravens, right? So from 01 to now, we're talking about really three great seasons. The two Super Bowl championships, and in 08 when they were 12-4 and Plexico shot himself.
Right.
All right? But take a look at the seasons in between. It's just another franchise, man. So to walk around with we're looking for the blue blazer guy, we're looking for the Giant Way, what exactly is that way? Because more recently, it's been a way to get to something that's not anywhere close to a Vince Lombardi trophy.
Dante in Newark. Dante.
Hi.
Hey.
Oh, first time caller, long time listener. Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for making it.
This this reeks of Freddie Kitchens East to me, man. Special teams coordinator, becoming a coach. He's going to have to coach against two Super Bowl winning head coaches and then one Super Bowl participant head coach with no experience whatsoever. He's going to have to play these guys six times a year. How do they think this is going to work?
But the one thing that I would disagree with you about, Dante, you can't pejoratively say special teams coordinator. There have been great – I mean, John Harbaugh is one of the best coaches in football, and that's what he was before he got the head job. Bill Belichick was a special teams coordinator with the Giants at one point. So you can't look down your nose at that, and Belichick actually believes that the great coaches could come from special teams because they have to coach the entire team.
There is a lot of Bill Belichick in Judge because Bill did everything. All right. When he was working with the Lions and the Colts when he first came into the league, he coached every aspect, special teams coach, but he didn't get a sniff until he won two Super Bowls as a defensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, nobody thought after he got fired by the Browns that he was going to end up being what he became, but he paid his dues. So when we compare him to Bill, Bill accomplished a lot in the NFL before he got a job with the Cleveland Browns.
I can't believe he just compared him to Freddie.
What would Freddie think if he heard this?
How dare he? If Freddie was to hear that someone called a radio show,
right,
and said the hiring of Joe Judge is the equivalent of hiring Freddie Kitchens? I heard your show. I heard your little interview with Lenny Davis.
Larry Davis, Freddie.
Larry. What's your name? What, you sure you know his name? Now, me and my pa, we had a ham radio when we were a kid. We used to listen to the radio. People used to call up and say things, compare people to people. Comparing Joe Judge to Freddie Keegan is like comparing beef jerky to my mama's steak. You ever had my mom's steak, Larry?
No. Why you call me Larry?
All you people are the same to me. Here's the bottom line. You talk about Freddie Keegan again without offering me a job, I'm okay. And don't think I'm not built from New York. I've been down to 4th Avenue before. I'll slop the hogs with all of y'all. Keegan.
I wonder if the Browns are going to interview Kitchens for their job.
Again.
They probably forgot that.
That would be great if they... Can you imagine 3 days later the Cleveland Browns announced they will be interviewing Freddie Kitchens
for
the head coach?
Great day of your career.
Oh,
and
my God.
The caller's right. Freddie, when you look at his resume, once he got to the NFL with the Cowboys in 06, tight ends coach,
big
quarterback coach, running backs coach. But the year before he got the job, associate head coach, all right, and offensive coordinator.
So it's not even close.
So then for 1 year, and then they made him the head coach.
But still, that's a big year.
But at least... You saw.
Well, you also, sorry, Don. Also, you also said quarterbacks coach, which is a more common place to come from. So you had quarterbacks coach, and then at one point OC.
But there have been instances of coming from special teams coach.
But where's Jim? We said John Harbaugh, 9 years special teams coach, defensive backs coach. Who else can we come up with?
Belichick was a special teams coach with the Giants before he moved to the defense. Totally
before he went to defensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
And also the Harbaugh family is. We can't even say that they're a typical. I mean, that is a different kind of football breed in that family.
Like the Kitchens family.
Like the Keegan. But I don't – that's – this. These comps aren't working for me. I'm sorry, they're not.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
That's right, man.
Don't miss Michael, Don, and Peter weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. Or look for us under Listen on the ESPN app.